Already half his focus was on escaping with his photographs. He had been in tight situations before, smuggling film out in empty toothpaste tubes, but this, he feared, was yet more serious. How would he do it? The conflict had quickly revealed itself to be a homegrown uprising of Polish rebels against a well-planned and resourced Nazi mission of outright extermination. The German soldiers were killing all citizens, all witnesses. If they found him, they would not let him live. That he knew. Makeshift barricades constructed of torn up and shattered flagstones had been manned by several young Polish boys with rifles and homemade grenades and bombs, one of which, no doubt, had caused the latest blast. But as the dust cleared, he noticed that the brave boys were nowhere to be seen. Their modest supply against the Wehrmacht Dierlewanger Brigade Black Hunters and SS police battalions doubtless spent. He seemed alone in the bloody square, though he doubted that was the case. Had the resistance, such as they were after 5 years of occupation and days of non-stop fighting, retreated to where they had a better stronghold, the square now ceded? The dusty air that moments before had been alive with bullets, boots, and ash had now settled, it seemed, to make way for something greater, something slow and menacing. He heard the heavy crunch of tracks moving over the ground and knew instantly what it was. There was shouting in German, but he could not make out the words. From somewhere came a woman's screams, disturbingly urgent and clear in the temporary quiet. A new rumbling grew louder. Something was coming. A German tank moved into the square, gun first. It was a mighty Tiger II, weighing nearly 70 tons, moving right into the line of sight of his Argus camera. The massive machine, with its brutal gun turret, thundered steadily into the square, toward the makeshift barricades, lumbering inelegantly over each bump like a great impenetrable beast, crushing everything in its path. No barricade would be equal to it. He pushed his back into the dusty building again, and his shutter clicked, clicked again. He brought the camera down from his face. No, he was not mistaken. There was something hanging on the front of the tank, something tied there. Not something, someone. A woman. It was her screams he had heard. A woman in civilian dress, tethered by the wrists to the huge gun, her body dwarfed by its size and stretched out, legs pulled back and secured by the ankles to either side of the front of the tank. Her dress was dirty and torn, her white face twisted in horror and framed by lank brown hair. Petite and terrified, she might have been 14 or 40, a mother or a child. All he saw was primal terror in her large, dark eyes. Again, her screams filled the square, far above the din of the tank's infernal rumbling. The sound proved too much. Before he'd even begun to comprehend his actions, begun to form a plan, he foolishly rushed forward, hands outstretched, his Argus swinging awkwardly at his side, momentarily forgotten. He crossed the square in seconds, and leaped onto the front of the massive, slow-moving monolith, which would not pause for him, not for anyone save its master at the helm. Caught in a kind of temporary madness, he tore at the ropes that bound the struggling woman with a singular focus. Once he had freed her left ankle, she twisted in place and gestured to her other ankle.
Tomten!
She shouted in Polish.
That one!
He had to get the other next, or she could fall face first before the tank and be crushed under it. He tore at the binds and heard the great hull opening, a soldier shouting. There was no time. The soldier was climbing out and reaching for his pistol.